And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Experience Live from DerpyCon. We're here at the end of our convention coverage, and I'm being joined now by Mr. Mick Weinger, who has the Tony Stark name on his badge.
Well, you know, I have been known to play a certain billionaire philanthropist inventor playboy.
And as well as playing Iron Man, Avengers Assemble, Black Panther's Quest, he's also played Poe in Kung Fu Panda, Paws of Destiny. He's appeared in Goosebumps 2, Haunted Halloween. He started acting in 2004, which also includes credits in Spider-Man for PlayStation 4, Batman Assault on Arkham, and Year One, Raphael and TMNT Mutants in Manhattan, and his own podcast, Hidden Frequencies, which he started last year in 2018. Mick, thank you so much for coming on.
How
have you enjoyed DerpyCon?
I'm having a great time. I think DerpyCon is a really fun environment. I mean, the fans have been great. I've got to meet some really cool people. Staff has been wonderful. I think, you know, to hear the name DerpyCon, you get certain connotations in your brain, and it has been nothing like that at all. It's been very professional and very really fun to be at.
Now, we actually just got out of the actors' workshop.
Correct.
How did you feel that went for you?
For me, I'm a voiceover coach and teacher in my daytime life as well. I am a superhero by night. But during the day for my day job, what I do is do question and answer like that and exercises like that. As a coach, I have to say, I think our big workshop went really, really well.
So when we were doing the gibberish, I had to sit down because I was laughing too hard because the person I was trying to pair up with, instead of doing gibberish, he started doing the State Farm She Shed commercial to me. And I just lost it and I had to sit down.
That's amazing.
So I looked at it and I was like, we're supposed to be doing gibberish. You just completely ruined this.
You totally ruined it for me.
But it was a fun panel, and it actually there was a lot of great stuff. And actually, one thing that was brought up was about subreddit.
Yes.
And I'm actually from the D.C. metropolitan area.
Okay.
We actually have something called DragonuckConnects.com,
okay,
which is run by it was run by Brian Dragonuck until he passed away due to cancer last year, but his family still runs it. And it's actually a way where they actually do the vetting for you.
Oh.
So you know when you're trying to go out for an acting job, because I do acting from time to time. I do more hosting and stuff like that now. But it actually gives you the ability to find where people are auditioning for parts and stuff like that. It's actually how I got a few roles of my own. And so that's something maybe – I don't know if maybe that's something out in L.A. or something like that, where they have a community newsletter that lets people know when stuff like that comes out.
Yeah. Personally, I'm not aware of anything that goes out like that right now. But when I first got to L.A., there was a certain mailing list that some guy – gosh, I wish I could remember his name. That's how long it's been since I've received anything from that mailing list. But there are community members of the acting community and the creative community in Los Angeles that will pull together either message boards or newsletters or that kind of thing to vet, to help, to let people know. I know organizations like Women in Animation will send out job leads all the time, whether that's for and even though the organization is Women in Animation, it's open to both genders. And their job leads are, you know, for major studios and that kind of thing, whether it's administrative assistants or storyboard editors or creatives in the animation business, they keep people connected. There's also there's Mandy.com, which I think over the years has become its own thing. But when it started, it was a job listing message board. People that I know that are story writers and animation writers have their own message boards and communities and stuff. So there are people working together to find opportunities for one another across the board, whether you're in D.C. or in Los Angeles. Yeah. That's very much a thing.
Yeah, and not only that, but it's also – when you also look at it from the bigger picture, it's also probably a lot safer.
Yeah.
Because then going on Craigslist or even in a way kind of Reddit, because you don't know what you're going to be getting through Reddit or Craigslist.
Correct. Correct. So, it's harder to vet those sources. Yeah. Although I'll say when I first got started in Los Angeles, when I moved down there in 2004, some of the first gigs I looked for were on Craigslist. I would search Backstage West or Backstage.com. I'd search Actors Access, which is another casting site. I'd go to Craigslist. I'd do everything I could to find opportunities. And I don't think the Craigslist one, if I'm honest with myself, I don't think it led to anything, but it's the willingness to get out there.
Yeah. So one of the things I wanted to talk to you about with the limited time that we do have is actually about Kung Fu Panda, because obviously with the film franchise, it was Jack Black who played the role of Po.
Correct.
And I actually asked this a similar question to Richard Epcar last year because of his rendition of the Joker. What was it like for you knowing that this is how Po was in the films with Jack Black? How were you able to like kind of put your own little spin onto the character?
That's a great question. Insofar as it sheds light, I think, on the process. For me, as a voice match, I'm such a fan. I'm a fanboy, is what I am. I'm so nerdy. I am a continuity nerd. So I'm the guy that's going to be the first person to tell you when somebody was recast or when something doesn't sound the same. So when I approach Poe, the biggest compliment I can get is for people to credit my work to Jack Black. My goal with both Jack and for Slappy, because Jack did the voice of Slappy in Goosebumps 1 but wasn't available for Goosebumps 2, so I got the gig doing that. And for me, the biggest focus for me was not putting my stamp on it. I want the audience to feel the continuity of the character. I don't want them to go, gosh, that's a new guy doing Slappy, and I really like his take on it. I want them to go, that's the Slappy I remember. That's the Slappy that was in the first movie, and I want it to be as seamless a transition. Kung Fu Panda was the same thing. When I got into the Legends of Awesomeness, I had a reference file of some of Jack's moments for the first film, and I would play that in the car as I was going to my session for as long as I felt like I still was working on, you know, getting the essence of this character. After a while, like as we're recording season 2, I was doing it less and less and less. But to really begin with, I wanted to make sure I was bringing not just some random version of Kung Fu Panda, but the real Kung Fu Panda to the table. That's where my focus is.
Now, next up, we have the Hidden Frequencies, your podcast. And it's funny. We're two podcasters talking on a podcast about a podcast.
It's so meta.
It's so meta.
Podception.
Yeah, exactly. But why don't you tell everybody, like, give people a little bit of background. How did it come about, and how have you been able to keep it going as long as you have, especially with the acting gigs that you get?
Sure. Well, it came about because last year I was about, six to 8 months in on doing some narration for the No Sleep podcast, which is another one that folks should check out if they like horror fiction. And being a fan of horror, I just started working with the No Sleep gang, who most of whom are enthusiasts and local talents to wherever region they are in the world that have been brought together via the internet to do this horror fiction. And I did it because I love horror. And it was – I just needed something fun to do for myself that wasn't work. And so getting involved with them, I became aware of what was out there in terms of podcasts for horror fiction or radio drama. And the thing that I saw consistently missing was anthology format, where it was a different show each episode, and professional grade quality. Now, that's not to say that No Sleep doesn't do great work. They absolutely do. Their whole community is amazing. And there's some other great audio dramas that are out there that are wonderful. But I also know that I had access to peers and friends in the industry that were literally the top of their game, the best of the best in the business. So I thought, what if I were to do a podcast, what would I want to hear? First of all, I'd want an anthology like Tales from the Dark Side or Twilight Zone or The Outer Limits.
Tales from the Crypt.
Oh my gosh. If I could have gotten John Cassier on one of our first episodes, that would have been amazing. But those kinds of anthology things where they're hosted, each week is a different story. You meet different characters. It's a one shot. That's what I would want. And I would want it done by the best in the business. And so that's how I pulled it together. And because, just to be frank with your audience, because last year I had a boom year, I was able to just self-finance the first 10 episodes and brought it to life as proof of concept. And then, as we've rolled into 2019 and on, you know, finances changed. The nature of the business that I'm in is boom or bust. It can be very inconsistent. We're lucky if we get consistently good years year after year after year. And so I was not in a position where I could self-fund it. We're turning to Patreon, Kickstarter, other avenues, media partnerships to try to get it up and running. And we're still in process on that. So the future is still a little muddy for Hidden Frequencies, but if I can get the financing, if I get enough fans or if I get the right media partners, I would love to continue to make it a reality, because it was a great joy to pull this thing together, to voice direct all of these professional actors on original scripts written by animation writers who just wanted to write a Twilight Zone script. I mean, that was the whole concept, is to do the Twilight Zone, or again, one of these anthology shows, but for your ears rather than for your eyes, and make it something you could listen to on a commute and get that feeling at the end with the punch in the gut right before you had to walk into work.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I know, because this is one of five podcasts that I do. I'm in pre-production for three other podcasts.
Wow. Like, that's ambitious.
And right now I'm unemployed. I actually had a job interview on Friday when I got into my hotel room, but like, this is what I want to do. Like, I went to acting school and all that stuff. Acting wasn't but I'm really good at hosting. I'm really good at interviewing. I'm really good at moderating. So this is what I want to do. So that's why I do all this, like, as you said at your panel, content creating.
Yep.
I just build a whole bunch of content.
Absolutely.
So, but with that, I know that last part was a little bit more about me, but now we're going to put it back on you. Where can the people find you on the social medias?
I am at Mick Wingert, and the last name is spelled like wing with an E-R-T at the end. So at MickWingert on Twitter and on Instagram. I was able to get both handles on both platforms. I would love to have you all follow me. I do post semi-regularly, and it's usually stuff about what I'm doing in the booth. You can also follow the podcast on both Instagram and Twitter at TH Frequencies, and the plural frequencies is IES at the end. So at TH Frequencies to follow the podcast. You can go to thehiddenfrequencies.com and listen to episodes. We're also found on any and all podcast outlets, whether that's iOS or Android. You can listen to our show on just about every streaming service, if that's how you like to listen to your podcasts.
And we will have the link to the website right underneath this interview.
Fantastic.
So, ladies and gentlemen, of course, obviously, if you scroll up on this page, after listening to Mick, you can also listen to Jeremy Lee, Colleen O'Shaughnessy, Michael Mosley, and also a little later, right before November 9th, we'll be having the Derpy Mania 2 panel released on the website for all of you to see. And with that, Mick, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, man.
And ladies and gentlemen, this is the end of our DerpyCon coverage. And until next year, when we go to New Brunswick. Yes, this is the last year in Morristown. We're going to New Brunswick next year. We'll see you on the flip side, DerpyCon.